You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back. You're on New Hampshire Now with 914.50 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. And this segment of the show brought to you by P&N Automotive. I trust Chuck. He's the best in the capital region. I know it's so hard to find an honest garage. P&N Automotive at 140 Pleasant Street. Phone number 225-4313. Again, that's 225-4313. I'll be joined on the program for the first time by Dr. Charles Wicks. He is a resource provider at Concord Hospital Cardiac Associates as we discuss some of the advancements being made at Concord Hospital in regards to cardiac care. Dr. Wicks, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks, Chris.
Appreciate you joining us for the program. So one of the things I want to talk about first is, you know, the advancements at Concord Hospital in dealing with cardiac care. As I've been looking into this, it appears that Concord Hospital, despite the fact that individuals very often think, oh, you have to go to Boston to get the best in cardiac care or other places, that it appears that in terms of ratings, also technology, and the type and quality of care, that Concord Hospital is right there in regards to cardiac care. How so, in your view? What's created that environment?
Well, I think there's a big commitment to the community at the hospital, and I have to say I'd agree. I grew up in New Hampshire, and I had no idea that this stuff was going on here until I came up here 7 years ago. We've developed a lot, even in the time that I've been here. We've hired 10 new doctors in the last 7 years since I started, and there's a big commitment to taking care of all of the needs that we can in the community. So there's a lot that we do now that we weren't doing a decade ago. I think the other thing that's been impressive about the care at the hospital is that we really still provide a lot of time and commitment to taking care of patients. We don't rush them through visits. Mm-hmm. They were invested in their well-being. And so even though we've advanced a lot and taken on a lot of new things, we've sort of kept that commitment.
What's the makeup of the cardiac care associates? Are most of the individuals from New Hampshire or from the community here at Concord? Obviously, you all live here now, right? Or around here now. Right. Or are there a lot of doctors who have moved to Concord to, you know, raise their families here and be a part of the community?
It's a little bit of a mix. We have some people that have grown up in New Hampshire, but I'd say most have not. Mm-hmm. Even people like myself, you end up moving around a lot through training, so you see different types of care in different places, and it sort of helps to give you a good background. But I'd say most of the people in our group came here attracted to the type of care that we provide at the hospital, wanting to be part of that mission, and move in and been very happy living in the community.
So, obviously, Concord Hospital is the hospital for the community here in Concord, and we have seen advancements in many different areas so that it can provide, you know, that full scope of care. In regards to the cardiac unit in particular, talk a little about some of the advancements that have been made in dealing with issues involving the heart here in the community.
I think what stands out to me is that there's really not much that we don't do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the only thing that we're not doing at this point is heart transplantation, which actually no one in New Hampshire does. But we're able to provide just about anything else. We're doing open heart surgeries. We're doing valve replacements, both by surgery and by catheter. We're able to do complex electrical work in the heart where we're getting rid of abnormal heart rhythms. Structural work, and then a lot of different development with the outpatient needs. So there's been a heart wellness program that's been developed for patients who have weak hearts. We have a pretty active device clinic where we're able to manage all the patients in the community and outside with pacemakers and defibrillators. So it's a really well-developed practice. It's sort of what you'd expect to see at a major university hospital, mm-hmm. but in a smaller community setting.
That's interesting on a number of levels. First off, that, you know, there are no providers that do heart transplants here in New Hampshire. Is that based upon the scope of the surgery, or is it something in regards to legality?
No, it's more of a logistics issue.
Okay.
We don't have, you know, the population of New Hampshire is just a little over a million,
mm-hmm.
And there's just not that many transplants that happen in the first place.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the most recent numbers in Boston are, but there's three hospitals in Boston that do it, and they probably do 30 apiece a year. So to try to take that on in a smaller scale up here, it would be sort of tough to keep up a good volume to be proficient at it.
That's Dr. Charles Wicks joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. We're inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio. I'm interested in heart disease as a whole. And are we seeing heart disease, because there's been a lot of discussion about obesity and you know, childhood obesity and obesity in general, and there's obviously a correlation between that at times and heart disease. Of course, there's also the genetic side of things as well. Has there been an increase in heart disease over a period of time? What's kind of the scope and baseline of where we are at here in Concord, in New Hampshire, in regards to heart disease?
We're seeing increases for a couple of reasons. I do think we're seeing some increase in people at a younger age developing heart disease. We've all seen people coming in their 30s and 40s with heart attacks or heart problems because of poor diet and inactivity. We're also seeing it because people are living longer. And so mm-hmm. there's the age-related things that you may not have seen 20 years ago, where people are living to their 80s and 90s and are healthy enough to develop heart problems. So we're kind of getting both of those scopes.
So in terms of heart health, what are some basic things that individuals can do to ensure that they have as healthy a heart as possible?
A lot of the stuff, it's fairly basic. One thing is just to get up and move. There's pretty good data that just going from sitting around on the couch all day long to walking three times a week will cut your risk of a heart attack significantly.
Mm-hmm.
I think people kind of intuitively know they need to get up more, they need to eat more fruits and vegetables, cut back on meats. It's just tough to actually implement that. It's tough in a busy day to try to find time out to do that. But I think if you think about the flip side, what your life's going to look like 20 or 30 years from now, if you don't, you're much more likely to live a long, healthy life if you can move.
What's the percentage of individuals that you see with heart disease that have it based upon genetics and heredity as compared to the lifestyle side of things? When you go to the doctor for a checkup, obviously one of the questions is always asked, do you have a history of heart disease in your family? And, I have a number of close friends who were a little older than I am that have had heart attacks, and it was just basically something that they knew was going to happen at some point in their life, regardless of whether they were in great shape. They did everything that they could, but, in their 50s, they had heart attacks because that's what happened in their family.
Hey, I'm not sure if I could give you a great percentage on that, but that is pretty common. I think when I see younger people with heart disease, it's either that they smoke, that they're overweight with diabetes, or they were unlucky enough to have bad genes.
Right.
It is tough to get around the genetics of it. We've made advances in the medical therapy over the last, 20, 30 years to kind of stave that off. And I think people that are proactive often will have parents that maybe had problems in their 40s and maybe
right.
they get them in their 60s. But we haven't found a way to totally counteract the genes.
Right. So you can push back the clock a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still, so let's say you're one of those individuals, and I'm fortunate that my genetics in regards to heart attacks and cancer to some extent is pretty good in terms of when it can expected to take place, so to speak. But that's a heavy burden that individuals carry, and very often they don't talk about, and it leads to a lot of side effects, whether it's mental illness and things of that nature, where you get depressed, anxiety about your time that is coming. What can individuals do in order to, whether it's routine checkups or things of that nature, to kind of ease their minds and be ready for when that does happen?
I think that the routine medical care does make a big difference. People again kind of know that they need to work on their diets. They know if they're overweight. They know they need to exercise more. But one of the things that your doctor can often help with is provide guidance around your blood pressure and your cholesterol and your symptoms. I think the main thing that people can make a big difference for medically is probably cholesterol. That's something that we're seeing can always be lower. It seems like there's no cholesterol that's too low at this point. But I think the other thing that's helpful is seeing your doctor regularly is a lot of times people now, if they're doing the right things, they don't necessarily have the sudden heart attacks without warning. Often you're having symptoms leading up to it, and people will tend to kind of blow it off. And we'll often see people that come in the middle of a heart attack where we'll see that they've been having symptoms for 2 or 3 weeks, but they don't have a good relationship with their primary care person or some other medical provider that can sort of clue them in, or they're trying to minimize things. And I think that being involved with your medical care can really help in that way.
What are some of the the warning signs that you reference? Because, you know, I think that, individuals will, have certain things, whether it's, they feel a chest pain or they feel, the pain in their arm. And various times, particularly if they're athletic, they'll ignore them and say, okay, this is just what happens. I get it's just this. Is there something, inherently different about the feel of a heart attack as compared to, normal chest pains or, anxiety attacks?
It's sort of tough because the body's not very good at telling you what's going on inside the chest. If you cut yourself on the outside, you can feel where that happened. But if something happens on the inside, it's much more general. Typically, though, it's something that comes on with physical activity. So it's some feeling that when you push your heart to work harder, whether you're walking, jogging, playing basketball, whatever, that's your heart's way of telling you to stop. And it can basically be anywhere from your eyes to your belly. The weirdest one I've seen was someone that went to the dentist thinking they had a cavity because every time they would play basketball, their tooth hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're noticing something predictably with activity that you have to stop to make go away, that's something to look into. Even though, the people talk about women having atypical symptoms, they're atypical in that they're not necessarily chest pain, but they do tend to come on from physical activity, and that's really what to watch for.
Is there, you mentioned the physical activity side of things. Is there such a thing as, overdoing it in regards to physical activity where, a lot of individuals are into, getting fit quickly, the monster workouts, the boot camp type things, where it's kind of like, a couch to 100 miles an hour as quick as possible. There's one of the old wives' tales, if you will, things your mom always says is, it's great to do things, kind of in balance, or to not overdo it and to do things, kind of in a consistent type way. Don't eat too much candy, don't drink too much beer, but if you do everything in moderation, it's fine. Is that the same thing in regards to to heart attacks and heart health, or can you can you hurt yourself by doing too much?
There is something to that. We know that from people that run their first marathon, especially if they haven't trained much for it, that you can see evidence by MRI or by blood work that they've caused small amounts of heart damage. We know that people that there's a curve where you improve your heart health up to a certain point, and that maybe working out by, say, running more than 30 miles a week may start to minimize that benefit or maybe cause harm. You definitely don't want to go out and try to run your first marathon in the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the boot camps are probably the same way. They also have the potential for causing kidney issues, mm-hmm, along with heart issues. But ramping up, for most people that would be listening now, you're probably not doing too much.
Right.
If you're thinking about doing an ultra marathon for your heart health, that's probably not the best idea. If you want to do it just because that's something you want to do, okay. But I'd say generally more is going to be better for the average person.
Final thing with Dr. Charles Wicks here on the New Hampshire Now program. He joins us from the Concord Hospital Cardiac Care Associates, and we were talking about some of the advancements that have been made and the fact that Concord Hospital can stand up with any hospital in the region in regards to heart health. The human body is amazing in that it has the ability to heal, and whether you were talking about before, cuts to the exterior and the skin and so forth. I had a fractured shoulder, which basically healed on its own. Is Is that true with the heart as well? Because you mentioned the damage that is done, and you know, if a person overexudes themselves, or if they smoke or whatever, and heart damage is done, can the heart heal itself, or is damage irreparable?
It can heal somewhat. You know, we know that someone that comes in with a heart attack, if we recheck their heart in a month or two, that about half of them will have a significant improvement in their function. There's some regenerative capacity there. Medications can help add to that. The tough thing is knowing who's going to get better and who will not. We have not been able to figure that out well yet. But generally speaking, even if you come in with a heart attack, there's a good chance you're going to get better.
Well, we really appreciate joining us for the program. There's some great information, and look forward to talking again at some point in the future.
All right, thank you.
All right, that is Dr. Charles Wicks here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com, resource provider at Concord Hospital in their Cardiac Associates Unit, joining us here on the Hampshire Now. I'm Chris Ryan. I appreciate you joining us for the show. This hour of Hampshire Now brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and that segment of the program presented by the Concord Photo Service and the Photo Idea Center, located at 29 North Main Street in Concord. Concord Photo Service, working to preserve your holiday memories to last a lifetime.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.